everybody. This is me, Harlem, once again. It is time for Fresh Ubuntu. This is episode number 31. Thank you for joining me. Well, we've got a lot of things to cover in this episode. We're going to start off with some news about Dell, and then we're going to talk about a little bit about Launchpad and some new things in the Linux kernel. I guess this bi-weekly thing is kind of getting to be a little bit of a habit. Of course, we got spring break going on and then Easter. So things around here have been a little bit busy, and I apologize for that. But nevertheless, I am here, and I'm here now. And it is April the 7th as I'm recording this, and I thank you again for joining me. It is finally starting to become spring around here. The temperature is starting to warm up a little bit. And just a little bit of rain, of course. This is, after all, Oregon. And we are notorious for our rain. Nevertheless, spring is coming. I am so glad for it to be here, finally. I can shed off a few layers of clothes now and basically be able to move around a little more freely. You know, I am glad to be back. And then, of course, we have spring break. One thing about spring break is it's hard to get the kids back into, you know, that stay-at-home kind of mode. So we've got them all running around and driving my wife nutty sometimes, and which in turn drives me a little nutty, but whatever. I'm sure I'd do the same to them, drive them nutty too on my days off. So anyway, we're all here. Survived spring break and survived March Madness. Congratulations to Florida State for winning their second national championship in a row. That's the NCAA basketball championship. I just want to personally congratulate them. Well done. Filled out my own bracket this time, and I pretty much knew I wasn't going to win the tournament. I pretty much knew that I was not going to win the office pool right after the first weekend. You know, I sort of had some passing interest after that. After the first round, basically, I lost interest in it up until maybe the Final Four, maybe next year. My strategy was to pick all the 12 seeds and then pick some big upsets. And, of course, I bet on all the number ones and number twos. However, I had them a majority of my number ones, and I had a majority of my number ones going to the final eight. A lot of my number twos being knocked out in the second round. Anyway, it didn't happen. Anyway, with that, let's get on with the news, and I'll be back in just a moment. Now on to the news. Item number one, Dell is going to sell computers with Linux installed on them as the result of their Firestorm poll. Maybe a month or so back, 70% of the participants were requesting Linux on Dell machines. So they decided to take us up on our offer and will be giving us Linux on many of their machines, on many of their consumer desktops and laptops outside of their server and precision desktop lineup. Please don't disappoint us, Dell. Item number two, Launchpad has updated their site today, Launchpad 1.0. It is the beta. And if you're reading, if I read this on the fridge, and you may be familiar with Launchpad already, and reading off their website, you know, of course, that it makes it easier for individuals and communities to collaborate on free software projects. And it goes without saying that Zope, Silva CMS, Joe Kosher, Creative Commons, Wango Phone, and Pledge Bank are just some of the users other than Ubuntu. So what's new in Launchpad 1.0? There's a brand new interface, easier to find your way around. And as they say, it's pretty. It's brandable. There are projects, teams, and individuals. You can put your logo or your mugshot on relevant Launchpad pages. and it tracks people's work. So everyone's Launchpad profile now shows the projects they're most active in and the sort of work they've done. You can read more about it on the link provided on my website at freshubuntu.org or at freshubuntu.com. And you can also have read in on what Mark Shuttleworth has to say about it. And if you haven't heard lately, VMware is going to be entering the Linux kernel. That is right. You heard correctly. The next revision of the Linux kernel is going to include a virtualization feature developed by VMware called VMI. The stable update, version 2.6.21, will then allow para-virtualized operating systems and Linux itself to run inside virtual machines on top of, and to some extent sharing, the Linux kernel. You can read more about it again at the link at my website at freshubuntu.com or freshubuntu.org. And that is going to do it for the news this week. Let's get on with the package of the week, what I like to call package magic. A couple of episodes ago, one of my listeners was lamenting on the fact that he couldn't find a replacement program for Microsoft Visio, and that was the only thing that was stopping him. So I decided, well, one of my other listeners decided to do a little quick search, and he emailed me the findings of his search, and he did find a suitable replacement for Visio. It is available under the KDE platform, under the KDE Office project, and it is called Kivio. Reading off their website, Kivio is an easy-to-use diagramming and flowcharting application with tight integration to the other KOffice applications. It enables you to create network diagrams, organization charts, flowcharts, and more. Among its various features are scriptable stencils using Python, support for Dia stencils, and plugin framework for adding more functionality. So if you are really stuck to Microsoft Visio but want to move over to Ubuntu, or Kubuntu in this case, you can try out Kivio. I'll leave the link on my show notes. And those of you who are wondering about a GNOME version for Microsoft Visio, you can check out Dia. Designed to be much like the commercial Windows program Visio, it can be used to draw many different kinds of diagrams. It currently has special objects to help draw entity relationship diagrams, UML diagrams, flowcharts, network diagrams, and simple circuits. It is also possible to add support for new shapes by writing XML files using a subset of SVG to draw the shape. You can check out this link also on the show notes. So there you go. You have two options for Visio. One for the GNOME desktop interface called Dia. The second for the KDE desktop interface, and that is called Kivio. Both of those links will be on the show notes. And that's going to do it for Package Magic this week. And there you have it. Main segment. This was submitted to us to Tip Shack, the new site that I put together for the community at tipshack.com, from Jay. And Jay submitted to us how to use NTFS drives and partitions under EDGY and be able to read and write to NTFS drives. And it's really quite a simple tutorial. This tutorial is at howtoforge.com/ubuntu_edgy_eft_ntfs_ntfs_3g. And I hope you got all of that. Anyway, the links, all these links are going to be in the show notes. So you don't have to worry about writing everything down. This is going to be somewhat complicated anyway, so I suggest going through the to the link in the show notes to follow along with this, rather than listening to this and then trying to do it. It's just too complicated and too many things to type in. So in any case, I am going to go through it and summarize a lot of the things. This is for an external drive, say a USB key or something like that. First of all, you want to plug it in and try to mount it. You should be able to mount it, open it up. You should see the icon on your desktop. You can go ahead and open that up. You should be able to read it fine, as Ubuntu will auto mount it, or sometimes Ubuntu will auto mount these things, and that way you can just open that icon up and it'll show you the files through the file manager on Ubuntu. In any case, you won't be able to write to this particular drive, as it is not compatible with the file system that you currently have. So what you'll have to do is you'll have to download a couple of packages, and in this case you might have to update the sources.list file. You'll edit the sources.list file with Flowmerton's repository for EDGY. And again, the name is rather long, so I'd rather not bore you with that kind of thing. You can just get it off of the link that I provide to you in the show notes. And after you're done with that, you're going to want to update the package database by issuing the sudo apt-get update command. And after you've done that, you will then in turn install a package called pmount, P-M-O-U-N-T. So what you'll do is issue the sudo apt-get install, P-M-O-U-N-T. And at the end of that, it'll give you a list of things that the computer is doing. And at the end of it, it'll ask you to install these packages without verification. And I must say this before we go on. Make sure it's a trusted source, number one. Make sure the repository is a trusted source. And I have no doubt that this is a trusted source, as it's coming from a valid link from howtoforge.com, a rather reputable site. I'm not too worried about this. You just want to be careful about what kinds of repositories that you put onto your sources list. You know, you never know what kind of packages you might be bringing into your system. And again, it's just a measure of precaution for you guys to take. Think twice about what kind of repositories that you put into your sources list. So let's go carry on. After you have verified it is a reputable repository, you can go ahead and install these packages without verification. You're going to want to type in yes or y, and then it'll go ahead and install the packages that you requested. Okay, and so now you've installed pmount. Now you're going to install ntfs-3g. Again, you'll issue the command sudo apt-get install ntfs-3g. It'll then, at the end of what it's doing, it'll ask you, do you want to continue? You answer yes. It will not be able to authenticate it. In any case, then it'll ask you to install these packages without verification. Again, enter yes, and that will install the package for you. And once you're done with installing both of those packages, you're pretty much ready to read and write to an NTFS USB hard drive, okay? You'll want to test this, of course. You can just go ahead and plug in your USB stick. Then an icon should appear on your desktop, and then you can mount it on. At this point, you can try and, you know, write something to that drive. You can either copy something over to it or make up a new file and save it specifically to that drive. You can open up your text editor, write something in your text editor, and save it directly to your USB key. In some instances, you may have to manually mount your USB key, in which case you'll have to find out what the name of that USB key is. So you'll have to issue the command sudo fdisk-l, and again the piping command, then grep ntfs, and you should get the output of the name of that drive. It'll be something like /dev/sda1, and then after that you will issue the command. Once you found out the name of the USB key, you'll want to issue the command sudo pmount-hel, and then the name of the USB key, which you found out through the fdisk grep command. And that's it. You've mounted the NTFS drive, and because you've mounted the pmount and the NTFS-3G packages, you'll be able to read and write to that very USB key, which just happens to be an NTFS drive. So there you have it this week. Very nice little tutorial from How to Forge, submitted by Jay through our tipshack.com website. I'll give you a little more about TipShack a little later at the end of this podcast, a little closer to the end of this podcast, because I got a couple of exciting things to tell you. But anyway, that ends our main segment, and thank you very much for joining me. And we'll go on to the command line command of the week. Okay, this week's command line command is going to be able to make or create a file the fast way with just a touch, and that is exactly what the command is called. It's called touch. If you take a look at the man pages for touch, touch changes the file timestamps, but in this instance, if you issue the command and the name of a file or any old file or any old name, really, it will create a file with that particular name that you have on there. Now, if you touch an existing file, what it will do is change the file stamp. In other words, update the time it was last modified. So the command is very simple. If you want to create a log file that you don't have already existing, what you would do is type in touch, T-O-U-C-H, and the name of the file you want to create. Pretty simple, pretty easy. After you've issued the command of touch and the file name that you want to create, basically it just gives you the command prompt. Once again, what you should do is check to see if that actual file was created by opening up your file manager and checking to see if it's there. It's much faster than running vi, saving and exiting, touching an existing file also, as I said before, and as the man pages tells you, that it updates the time it was last modified. So there you go. Create a file the fast way with just a touch. All right, now that is going to do it this week. Thank you very much for joining me. But before I leave, I want to just put in a plug for TipShack. TipShack is a site I'm building for the Fresh Ubuntu community. Although open to everybody, it is a place where people can go and submit tips, tutorials, how-tos, even some news about Ubuntu to help each other out, and where people can go and get these things and vote on the ones that are working for them, ones that they find useful. It's based off of the Plig content management system, which is sort of like a dig style content management system where people vote on submitted content. The more votes it gets, of course, the higher it rises and eventually makes it to the front page, a lot like Dig. Only this site, TipShack, located at tipshack.com now. Yeah, I went ahead and bought the domain name. Fortunately, it was available. Just my luck, I guess. It used to be at tipshack.freshubuntu.org as a subdomain, but now it has its own domain, tipshack.com. Just a few things on there. I have about what looks like there's about 15, 20 people registered on the site. Could use a few, a few hundred more. That would be nice. That would be helpful. But really what I could use is people going over there and voting on some of the submissions there. The thing to do really is, number one, register, as you cannot vote on things without registering. It only requires your name and an email address, and that's it. And I will never use your email address for anything, period. Unless, of course, you email me personally at freshubuntu@gmail.com, which I will email you back eventually. I've done that several hundred times already to people who have emailed me. Unlike Leo, who never answers his email, or at least never reads them. So I do read them, and I do write back. The emails will not be used by me or the Plig content management system people, as described in their terms of service agreement, or their EULA, E-U-L-A. So you don't have anything to worry about that, or your privacy, or what have you. But secondly, after you are done registering, you can go ahead and check out the newest stories. It should be close to the top where the content is on the front page. There will be a heading called heading at the very top of the center part of the website, in between the two sidebars there. The heading is, I'll read off the categories to you. It'll say published, least popular, most popular, oldest stories, and newest stories. And you can check out the newest stories, or you can simply go to the very bottom of the site, and it has the pages, or how many pages are on the particular site right now. And take a look at the site, check out the tutorials that you might find helpful, and vote on them. A vote is good, and a non-vote is, I guess, something that isn't useful to you, but a vote is something that is a vote to a particular piece of submitted content means that you found it useful. You might find it helpful for others. Among the topics here at tipshack.com, I have, of course, the three flavors of Ubuntu, that is Ubuntu, Kubuntu, and Zubuntu, one for each of the different desktop interfaces, KDE, GNOME, and XFCE, or XCFE. I still get that so confused. I have a category for hardware, a category for news, important news to the Ubuntu community in particular, tech deals, for instance, the Dell thing. That would be a nice thing to submit on there. It hasn't been submitted yet, and who knows, you could be the first one to submit something like that. Tech deals, in which you find particular deals on hardware specific to Ubuntu that is priced nicely. Again, it's a deal. I got a category for eye candy, that is anything to do with the desktop interface, either one of the three desktop interfaces that Ubuntu has, and that could be desktop backgrounds, icons, themes, etc., etc. And I have a category for packages, specifically packages, so that other listeners or other users of the site can pick up different packages that other users, especially listeners of Fresh Ubuntu, will find interesting. And then again, someone somewhat useful to them. I have a category for blogs, blog postings or rants, and that's quite all right to me. If you have a Linux podcast or know of a Linux podcast that the community, if they don't already subscribe to it, you can put it on there as well. There is a category for podcasts. One more interesting thing, I put in a category there for music. I will probably be submitting music onto this site, mainly because, you know, I'm somewhat interested in, you know, PodSafe music that are from independent artists that allow us to put their music on to our podcasts, and I just want to be able to help and support those artists and musicians who do the community a huge favor by allowing us to use their music like that. And we and I certainly appreciate it. And it lends a professional touch to a lot of podcasts, especially mine. You can email me for other categories, you know, category suggestions. That's perfectly fine. You know, of course, I will have to think about it, and I'll think hard about it, really. And who knows, I may even get rid of a category or two, depending on the popularity of the category. Again, you can submit your own content. I have no problem with that. I really don't like the idea of not being able to submit your own content. You know, there are a lot of bloggers, a lot of podcasters, a lot of just people in general who have an opinion about something. They write it on a blog and they want somebody to know about it, and I have no problem with that. You know, try to stick close to it being about Ubuntu and in general, I guess, about Linux, and that will be just fine. Whatever is happening in the community, write about it. You want somebody to know about it, hey, submit it to TipShack, no problem. And I don't think anybody, you know, on the website will have any problem about that either, mainly because we're all pretty smart, intelligent folks. We can sniff out spam as much as the next person. And spam, what I mean by spam is just people trying to get other people to their site because of, you know, they want to increase their AdSense revenue, whatever. I know how AdSense works, and it doesn't increase your revenue. You know, the more eyes doesn't really help. It's really all about click-through rate anyway. Unless, of course, they're all, you know, cost-per-impression ads. But anyway, I'm going off topic. It's okay to submit your stuff. I believe that we are an intelligent community. We can pick out spam just as easily as the rest, and so can I. And if I reserve that right to be able to delete a story if I deem it to be spam. You can email me back and ask me why I did that. And I have no problem explaining why I did that either. If you have a good argument, I might have you resubmit it and I'll keep it on there. So that much on that. Lastly, the site actually got dug. Somebody submitted it to dig.com. His name is William, and I will. I've already publicly thanked him on Dig, on my blog posting, and now on my podcast. Thank you very much, William. I really do appreciate it. That was really a nice gesture on your part. Again, I didn't think my site was quite ready for prime time yet, and you know, I don't think the Dig community really thought it was either. It got as many as 18 digs the first day. It is now up to 20 digs, you know, but otherwise it's pretty much off of the radar right now. But again, I have a few things that I need to do with TipShack, primarily a lot of the stuff with the template. I'm working towards retrofitting a different template onto TipShack. It's just going to take me a little while. It'll be exciting, though. It'll be really nice. That will be hopefully version 2. A lot of the templating needs to be figured out. And some of the back-end stuff needs to be solidified, you know, headings and categories and all that kind of stuff, what have you. Anyway, that is going to do it for this week. The show notes are going to be located at both freshubuntu.com and at freshubuntu.org, which, by the way, I am blogging every now and again, maybe two or three times a week, maybe four times a week, at freshubuntu.org. I'm going to keep freshubuntu.com, aka freshubuntu.blogspot.com, just specifically for the podcast. That's where my feed burner feed is pointing to. At this point, right now, I have the feed also at freshubuntu.org, but it also adds in blog posting as well. The OG feed is at feeds.feedburner.com/freshubuntu-og, all one word. Show notes are, again, located at freshubuntu.org or at freshubuntu.com. And don't forget the new website for the community. I would love your help with this, as it will be valuable to many new users, especially when Feisty comes around. I know I could have used something exactly like this to see exactly what would be the most helpful to me, you know, rather than wading through the forums or doing a Google search kind of thing is really much needed. The new users, again, especially when Feisty is coming out very, very soon, maybe in a couple of weeks as I tape this podcast. So anyway, that is going to do it. The music was provided by IOTA PromoNet and the PodSafe Music Network at music.podshow.com. Thank you very much for joining me. I hope to speak with you again in another week. Have a great week, and I hope you had a very happy Easter. Talk to you again soon. Bye-bye. Don't know how to go about